And we're back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. You know, it's not often that one of the top emailed articles in the New York Times is a philosophical opinion piece, but one that made that list was titled The Veil of Opulence. While it harkens back to ideas developed decades ago, it speaks to the central issues being debated in the presidential race right now. The author, Benjamin Hale, is an assistant professor of philosophy and environmental studies at the University of Colorado in Boulder and the co-editor of the journal Ethics, Policy, and Environment, joins us now on WILS. Ben, thanks for taking some time to chat with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you write about John Rawls, and you called this thing developing a veil of ignorance. You say it has this powerful but ancient contender, which is the veil of opulence. If you could briefly tell me, what are these two ways of looking at the world then?
Sure. Well, the veil of ignorance is relatively well known to those who've read the work of John Rawls. And essentially, the idea is to try to give us a device or a mechanism by which we can get essentially a grip on fairness, on the problem of fairness. And Rawls, it's well known, has a view of justice essentially as fairness. I sort of introduced this other notion, this veil of opulence, which is the title of the article. Which I think helps explain the kind of rationale or the logic that people employ when trying to understand or get a grip on fairness. So essentially the difference is that Rawls's veil of ignorance essentially requests of readers that they shield themselves from particular concerns that they may have as individuals.
In terms of the two parties and the two candidates here, President Obama and Governor Romney, is President Obama then in your mind representing more the veil of ignorance and Governor Romney the veil of opulence?
Yeah, that's the kind of the pretense of the article. That's the premise of the article, essentially, that the way in which Obama invokes the notion of fairness, it seems to me much more Rawlsian than Mitt Romney's use of fairness. So not so long ago, maybe 3 months ago or so, Mitt Romney was talking about student loans, for instance, and paying for college, I believe. I forget exactly the quote, but he said at one point, students who can't afford college should just ask their parents for a loan. And this sort of struck me as a kind of paradigmatic case of deploying the veil of opulence. That is to say, many students obviously don't have parents who can float them some money so that they can pay for college. But Romney, of course, was approaching the problem of what to do as a student who can't afford college from his own personal perspective. He easily could go to his parents and ask them for a loan.
Don't some, though, that may appear to have this veil of opulence really have a philosophy of I made it myself. I struggled, and really, it's not a matter of what you're born with, but what you make of what you have, and having a strong character can make the difference.
Yeah, I mean, there is no question that is an important line of thinking. I hesitate to sort of divide the world into these two sort of black and white categories of those who don the veil of opulence and those who don the veil of ignorance. So I want to be a little bit careful about that. But I think, certainly the concern about merit and people deserving what they have earned and being entitled to what they've earned, that's a real concern for many. Many people, and it is probably the case that many people who say vote for policies that tend to privilege the wealthy believe essentially that all benefits are fairly gotten, all gains are fairly gotten. This is a piece, and this is part of the article as well. I do believe that a lot of people vote with that presumption in mind, but of course John Rawls and of course many other political theorists are quick to point out, and this is important, that not all gains are fairly gotten, not all gains are necessarily earned.
Well, I'm talking to Ben Hale, an assistant professor of philosophy and environmental studies at the University of Colorado, about his opinion piece in the New York Times titled The Veil of Opulence. I guess some that, for example, might look at this, because I know you referenced the new healthcare law in the piece, but some might say that, in the ideal world, it would be great if everybody had healthcare. We're not necessarily against that, but their view might be that ultimately the idea of providing healthcare for all is an unsustainable structure. I mean, how does that fit into these two different veils?
Okay. it is certainly true that with regard to the provision of services or resources, the matter of what is sustainable and what's not sustainable is a very delicate one and an important one for us to address. This relates essentially to the execution of the whatever public policy in question, in this case, healthcare. Even if it's the case that there are some moral demands on us to provide assistance to those in need, it may not be the case that we can do so because we don't have the resources available to do so. That's a very serious concern, and that's one that we can sort of hash out at the policy level and not necessarily at the moral level. I think the more pressing concern, though, is ultimately, what's required of us, morally speaking. And it may be my view is essentially that that society and social systems like ours essentially are in place to assist those individuals or citizens who otherwise might be struck by what I was calling in this piece bad luck, essentially cosmic bad luck.
Do you think in general, though, our political system has been and is now being run largely by those that have this veil of opulence?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think that these are two currents in our political discourse that essentially run against one another. So, I mean, I think there are many people who recognize the kind of veil of ignorance position on fairness and set public policies according to this view of fairness. And I think that there are those who think differently about fairness, who think that basically. That the veil of opulence logic makes more sense. I think these are two positions that are in perpetual struggle against one another, and they probably will be for quite a long time.
What about the American dream on its own? I mean, doesn't it really bolster the idea of taking a veil to have the veil of opulence in the sense that we have a country that's based on the idea that everyone can move forward and succeed economically, if they have the willpower and the character to do so?
There is some part of the American dream that certainly is, makes appeals to something like the veil of opulence. I mean, logic. I suppose that's the best way to think about it. However, I mean it would be a mischaracterization of the American dream to propose that this was strictly rooted in the veil of opulence logic. I mean, we have insurance schemes and insurance programs and so on and so forth, throughout our, private economy as well as essentially, our government infrastructure, that essentially all of which is oriented around trying to eradicate or do away with or undercut the risk of downside damages or costs to us. This is part and parcel of achieving things in America, that we assist one another, that we pool our resources essentially, so that we can essentially all arrive at some decent life, right? I mean, this is part of pursuing happiness.
And the veil of ignorance. Do you think there is kind of a socialist nature to that? The idea that everyone should be supported in some way.
I actually don't think it's straightforwardly socialist in the sort of the caricature sense of socialism. I mean, Rawls himself was not, strictly speaking, a socialist. His view essentially, there's a lot really to say about Rawls, and I don't want to get too much into Rawlsian political theory, but this one thing may be important, which is that, Rawls essentially cut a middle path between what could be characterized as a kind of, strict egalitarian redistributionism, that is to say that all resources should be redistributed from the wealthy to the poor so that everybody's at the same level playing field, something like, full-on anarcho-capitalism. His thought was essentially that we would choose a society in which, say, the worst among us were the best off that they could possibly be. This is kind of the conclusion and caricature of the theory of justice. And Rawls was ready to accept, and I'm ready to accept, of course, that there may be wild income distributions between the wealthy and the poor. The thought is basically that, we as members of a collective social arrangement can essentially work together to ensure that the very poor off among us, and I don't just mean wealthy I'm not just referring to wealth here, but the very worst off among us can be at least better off than they otherwise would be in a world in which they were just left to their own devices.
Ben Hale, an assistant professor of philosophy and environmental studies at the University of Colorado. You can find his piece, The Veil of Opulence, in the New York Times, nytimes.com. Ben, thank you so much for joining us on WILS.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
And we will be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.